In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Ealing High Street.
Did you get the ace? I'm in the changing room, and she's like, do you want me to grab that in your size? I'm like, you're a shop assistant. Assist me, don't make me feel like top of myself.
Does it fit?
I'm not having the likes of her telling me I can't have a size 8 if I want a size 8.
It doesn't fit you, does it?
It's a principle.
A man grabs her bag. Another man chases the man that stole the handbag from one of the women. The thief runs down an alley and out onto another main road. He's hit by a car.
James O'Doherty, crackhead. Done time for theft, all drug related. Ran straight into a car on his latest shopping trip.
And we're here because...
He asked to see you.
Oh, CID?
He asked for you by name.
In hospital...
Really?
Ronnie goes to stand by James's bed. James is covered in tubes.
Hello? I'm D.S. Brooks. You wanted to see me?
Come back, don't
worry. Ronnie frowns and shuffles round the bed, closer to him.
Sorry, what did you just say?
I killed Amanda Bennett. Me and Ricky, we killed her.
When you see me, sir. No, 1 second. Hang on.
Medical staff manhandle Ronnie out of the room. Sam arrives.
Did he just say Amanda Bennett?
Well, that was 14 years ago.
Okay, strange thing to admit, sir. You think he's straight up?
Well, I can tell you for a fact it wasn't him or this Ricky that killed Amanda Bennett.
How do you know?
Because the investigating officer on that case... was me.
A city skyline. Law. The police on the streets. Bradley Walsh as craggy-faced Senior Detective Sergeant Ronnie Brooks. Ruggedly handsome Junior Detective Sergeant Sam Casey. Paul Nichols. Harriet Walter as gaunt Detective Inspector Natalie Chandler. Order. Three lawyers walk towards court. Dominic Rowan as clean-cut Senior Crown Prosecutor Jacob Jake Thorne. Freema Agyeman as elegant June Crown Prosecutor Alicia Phillips, and Peter Davidson as heavy featured Director of London Crown Prosecution Service Henry Sharp. Law and Order UK. This episode, Haunted, in the incident room.
Amanda was found on the floor, fatal blow to her head. No sign of any sexual attack, no sign of any forced entry, and nothing taken. Her dad's DNA was found all over her, and her blood was found all over his clothes. Jury agreed, Simon Bennett got life.
So how come Riguza's not banged up?
He did serve 3 years, then got off on a technicality. His brief reckoned that the judge misdirected the jury and claimed it was a miscarriage of justice.
I don't know a copper breathing who doesn't think the injustice was Simon Bennett walking out of jail.
The neighbours said that they heard Simon Bennett screaming blue murder at Amanda the night before she died. Apparently it hadn't been the first time he'd lost his cool with her. She was one of these unruly kids. You know, staying out late, bunking off school, going out with older lads, that sort of stuff.
D.S. Casey.
So, why is O'Doherty claiming he killed her?
I've got no idea, Gov.
That was the hospital. Jimmy O'Doherty died 10 minutes ago.
Well, we can't just ignore a murder confession.
No, we can't.
You said Jimmy mentioned an accomplice. I think we should find out who that is.
John's home, Clapton.
I'm only Jimmy's dad, in the technical sense of the word. I haven't seen Jimmy in years.
We've got some bad news, Mr. O'Doherty. Maybe we should go inside.
John's outside throwing rubbish in a dumpster.
He's dead.
He died a couple of hours ago, sir.
Was it the drugs?
No. He was hit by a car.
John nods, shocked.
Thanks for letting me know.
He heads in.
We're looking for someone, sir. We think he was a friend of your son's.
John turns back, brow furrowed.
I wouldn't know who his friends are these days.
What about 14 years ago? A bloke named Ricky.
John's jaw slackens.
You know?
Ricky Phelps. They knocked about together since school. Jimmy's mum was always telling him hanging around with Ricky would land him in jail.
John heads off. Sam and Ronnie walk along a corridor at the police station.
Richard Phelps. 2 theft, 3 burglary, GBH, and an arson attack that landed him 6 years.
Right. Well, he's out now, so probation will have his address.
Sanctum Homeless Shelter.
I haven't seen Jimmy in years.
How many years?
10, 11, maybe more.
You two have some sort of disagreement, or
you drifted apart?
Jimmy said you might know something about a murder.
Ricky looks up sharply.
Amanda Bennett?
Jimmy talks a lot of bollocks. I mean, that's crack for you. Makes you delusional.
Really? He was dying at the time, so didn't exactly have a reason to lie, did he?
Jimmy's dead.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, you can send flowers.
So why would he say that you and him had something to do with Amanda Bennett's murder?
I've done a lot of things in my time I'm not proud of. I never killed no one.
At the station.
Okay, thank you.
Photos of Amanda's corpse.
Ricky gave evidence against O'Doherty in court over some drug deal. Jimmy got 4 years.
So this could be about revenge.
You sure there's no mention of him in the original investigation?
Well, these are all the names and addresses of the people went through to Bennett House a week prior to the murder. There you go.
Whoa, that's a lot of foot traffic.
Yeah, to be fair, the Bennett's house was up for sale, so they're probably all viewings.
Ronnie hands Sam a file.
Have you got the name of the estate agent that showed them round?
Shilton's estate agency.
No, sorry. I don't know him.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
A photo of Ricky.
What about him?
A photo of James. The agent studies it.
Maybe.
You recognise him?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, he hasn't aged very well, has he?
Did you show him around the Bennett's place?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, his name wasn't on the list you gave us at the time.
Well, it's definitely the same bloke.
Are you certain about that?
Mm-hmm. Davey something? Yeah. Yeah, that's him.
How can you be sure?
She folds her arms.
Look, I don't make a habit of this, okay? It's just that, we had a one-night stand. He threw up in my bed and then he passed out. It wasn't quite the night of passion I was expecting.
Davy Jones.
Well, that's got to be it.
Yeah. You know when you interviewed him?
Yeah.
Did he have a cat suit on? Lightning strike across his face?
I don't know what you mean.
Davy Jones is David Bowie's real name.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So he's given us a false name, which explains why he never came up in the investigation.
Absolutely.
But if you interviewed him, Ronnie, wouldn't you remember his face?
Look, Sam, I wasn't there for all the interviews. I mean, I did some. Bernie did some. I was, you know.
Who's that, your old partner?
Yeah, Bernie Rawlings.
At Bernie's.
Your grandson filling out that Hammer shirt yet?
Yeah, well, he's getting there, Bernie. You know, hopefully playing for the first team soon. Be great.
Bernie hands him a cup of tea.
So, anyway, this interview. The guy's real name is Jimmy O'Doherty. The estate agent reckoned that she took him back to her place after the viewing.
So what's this all about, Ron? You and I both know Simon Bennett's as guilty as the day is long.
Mm. Well, I thought that too, Bernie.
Bernie turns to him.
And now you don't anymore.
Well, I don't know.
He had her blood all over his shirt, yeah? Oh, you tell me how he got there if he wasn't the one caving her head in.
Well, he did say that he cuddled her after he found her. What if we got it wrong? What if Simon Bennett was telling the truth?
He wasn't.
Then why is Jimmy O'Doherty telling us he killed Amanda Bennett?
Maybe he wants his 15 minutes.
Well, maybe he does. But nonetheless, the Gov wants us to look into it.
Don't tell me she's taking this seriously.
So what was O'Doherty doing at the house? Safe to assume he didn't have the cash to buy it.
Well, he was probably on a recce.
You mean nothing was taken?
No, but it does add weight to his confession before he died.
Certainly enough to dig a little deeper.
At the station.
I'll call Callahan. I think it's time this case was reopened.
I'll let the Bennetts know.
I could get someone else to do it.
Ronnie glances down and nods.
No, I can do it.
Ronnie strolls off. Chandler eyes Sam dubiously. Home of Simon and Lynn Bennett, Monday the 25th of February.
Far cry from the Chelsea pad. Guess he lost more than his daughter and his reputation.
A woman opens the door slowly and cautiously.
Sorry, I thought you were the Macmillan nurses.
I'm DS Casey, this is DS Brooks.
Mrs. Bennett, may we...
I'll deal with this, darling. You go and lie down.
Simon kisses her and nods. Lynn, who looks pale and tired, walks away.
DS Brooks.
Mr. Bennett.
What can I do for you?
We've come to inform you that we're reopening the investigation into Amanda's death.
No.
Mr. Bennett, please. We're not here for you. We have a suspect.
So why did you come here?
We're following up some new leads. We thought you and your wife would want to know.
We spent the last 14 years trying to put it all behind us. My wife chooses to forget. I'd prefer if you weren't here forcing her to remember.
I'm very sorry, I know it must
Thank
be
you,
difficult.
Detective. Now, I'd very much like you and everyone who works with you to go to hell.
Simon glares down at them. Ronnie nods, and he and Sam head off.
I'd have thought Simon Bennett would be champing at the bit to get his name cleared.
I get the feeling he's seen enough coppers to last him a lifetime, Gov.
Ron, have you got anything to link Ricky Phelps with the murder scene?
Not yet, Gov, no.
So for all we know, O'Doherty was there on his own.
Well, Phelps has got plenty of form. I mean, did a stretch at Asbridge for arson.
Yeah, well, arson doesn't carry much currency inside. Maybe Ricky Phelps bragged to one of his cellmates about doing something a little bit more impressive.
Same day, Ashbridge Prison.
So, Mr. McDonald?
Are you sure Amanda Bennett never came up in conversation? So Ricky Phelps never mentioned her?
Why would he?
So what did you guys talk about then, and those long lonely nights in that cell?
Usual shite. Which screw's giving him a hard time? Who's spatting his spaghetti?
You're up for parole soon, aren't you, Neil? 6 weeks, isn't it? What do you reckon your chances?
Neil folds his arms and smirks.
I reckon I'm going home.
Really? Even with that last adjudication hanging over your head?
It was a fight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fights never look good.
No, they don't.
I mean, they make the parole board think you need a bit more rehabilitation.
That's right. So?
Ronnie sits.
Why don't you use this as a golden opportunity? Help us put away a murderer. It'll look good on you, won't it? However, if you really do enjoy it in here, I mean, we could always have a word with the parole board and say that you were uncooperative.
They both smile at Neil.
Maybe you mentioned that.
No, maybes don't score that high.
He reckons he was off his head at the time.
At the time of what?
Amanda Bennett's murder.
He told you he was there?
Told me he strangled her.
Forensic Pathology Lab, Kennington, Monday 25th of February.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious why the blow to the head was recorded as the cause of death. There was so much edema and blood in the brain. There's barely any external bruising, and the hyoid bone was intact.
And that would definitely be broken if she'd been strangled?
Most likely, yeah.
The pathologist, he noted all these marks on the neck.
Yeah, the bruising he's documented as pressure applied to the neck.
As in strangulation?
Possibly, but he struggled to pinpoint exactly what time the bruising occurred, whereas the colour and consistency of the blood meant that he could determine precisely when the blow to the head happened.
Yeah, but there's a chance that the bruising occurred after the blow to the head.
I couldn't rule it out.
So, she could have been strangled?
It's possible, yeah.
We need to start from scratch and look at everything again.
I'm going to need a lot more evidence before I put this in front of the CPS. O'Doherty's dead, but Ricky Phelps is still alive and kicking.
Well, he's not going to confess to a murder, Gov.
Then talk to the people who know him best.
Chockamocha Cafe, Islington, Tuesday 26th.
Me and my brother ain't spoken for 2 years. You don't want to hear the last words I said to him.
Try it.
Ricky crashed my son's birthday party, all right? He scared the kids to death, and then he nicked my boy's PlayStation. Yeah, that was the last straw.
What about 14 years ago?
So we're trying to find out if Ricky was involved in a murder. Amanda Bennett.
Sorry?
You think your brother and his mate killed her?
I wouldn't know about that.
Well, you say the birthday party was the last straw. What else had he done to you?
They follow him inside the cafe.
Come on, Andy. Don't make us take you down the station. I mean, you'll have to shut up shop.
I gave him a job, didn't I? And the keys to close up one night. So I came in the next morning, and the place had been stripped. $2,000 worth of coffee machine, chairs, tables, everything. In all, he took me for $15,000. Your lot said it was an inside job, so I didn't get a penny off the insurance.
Well, you look like you've replaced everything.
Yeah. And the debt I'm in now, I can hardly sleep, so... Yeah,
it's obvious. Your brother's hurt you very badly. I understand you don't want to get involved, but... if you ever mentioned Amanda Bennett...
I don't need any more trouble, all right?
Well, Andy, if Ricky was the one that turned you over, make a new statement. I'll personally see that it's looked into. But if you know anything at all, please tell us.
Ronnie and Sam stride along a street.
So we're going to pick up Ricky Phelps now or let him sweat a bit longer?
Well, confession to his brother isn't going to be enough. I don't want to make the same mistake twice. Hello, Brooks?
Ronnie glances up and down the street.
Right, thank you. That was Lily. She wants us at the lab. She has something.
Yeah, the original forensic pathologist found Simon Bennett's DNA on Amanda's body. His saliva was on her hand.
Well, there's no getting around DNA.
Yeah, well, 14 years ago, a forensic pathologist needed rather a large sample to glean a DNA profile. These days, we can get one from a microscopic sample.
So where are we going with this, Lily?
I've reanalysed the sample of saliva taken from Amanda's hand, and I found DNA that doesn't belong to her or her father.
You've got a match?
No, the sample's deteriorated. I can't get a whole profile, but I've got a partial.
Very good, Lily.
Yeah, don't get too excited, Ron. Maybe she was with her boyfriend before she came home.
No. Amanda had a shower immediately before her death. She was found in a dressing gown and hair was still wet. In fact, the original pathologist said she was the perfect victim because any evidence that was found on her body got there through the attack.
Well, in that case, I'd say someone other than her father was there around the time Amanda Bennett was murdered.
Crown Prosecution Service.
Simon Bennett went down for it, but I think we went after the wrong person.
What makes you think you got the right person now?
New evidence. We think that Jimmy O'Doherty and Ricky Phelps killed Amanda Bennett, only O'Doherty is dead.
Leaving Ricky Phelps to take the rap.
How much evidence have you got that Phelps was the killer?
O'Doherty's confession and two witnesses who claim Phelps confessed to them. So.
The witnesses are hearsay. Anything else?
New forensic evidence. A partial DNA sample was found on Amanda's body. It definitely did not come from Simon Bennett.
Do you know who it did come from?
Well, we can't be certain once again, but there are strong indicators within that partial sample suggesting it came from Ricky Phelps.
It's not exactly concrete.
Well, one of the witnesses claimed Phelps confessed to strangling the victim, and the pathologist who re-examined the photos and samples said it's a strong possibility.
Now, even we didn't know that strangulation could have been the cause of death. We always thought Amanda Bennett died from that blow to the head. Look, Jake, I know it doesn't look like much, but if we put all the pieces of evidence together, the more we look into this, the more I am certain we got the wrong bloke.
Jake and Alicia glance at each other.
All right, make the arrest.
Richard Phelps, I'm arresting you on the suspicion of the murder of Amanda Bennett.
Are you making a mistake?
I don't have to say anything, but it may harm your defence.
Never touched her.
You have questions, something which you later rely on in court. Yeah. Anything you do say may be given in evidence.
At the homeless shelter, they arrest him. Sam leads him away in cuffs. MIU Central Headquarters, Bow Street, Wednesday, the 27th of February. Bernie sits at a desk.
So you arrested your suspect?
Yes, we did. Never going to be easy admitting we made a mistake.
We?
Bernie regards him coldly.
As I recall, I was teetotal, you were a pisshead, and I carried you.
Ronnie smiles and nods.
Well, I'm sorry you had to do that.
You more than anyone else should know what this case cost me. Because I was working all the hours that God sent. The gov breathing down my neck for a result. And where were you? You were propping up a bar in the White Horse.
Well, now I just want to put things right.
Huh? Who for? Yourself? Alleviating your guilt, is that it?
No. Not for me at all. For Amanda Bennett and her parents.
Oh, come on, Ron.
I think we got it wrong.
And what makes you so sure?
We have confessions.
From dead crackheads and armed robbers. Yeah, I've still got mates here, Ron.
We have new forensics.
Which won't stand up in court. Because they're maybes. Hmm? What about motive? You going on us?
Well, like you said, Bertie, crackheads, you know, there is no reason of logic there.
You got nothing that puts Ricky Phelps at the Bennett's house at the time of the crime. Nothing. You ain't got a case, Ron.
Bernie swaggers past. Ronnie raises his brows.
You know why? It ain't because we messed up in the first place. It's because Simon Bennett did it.
Ronnie picks up Bernie's jacket.
Bernie, you can't know that.
Bernie takes his jacket and puts it on.
There's things you don't know, Ron.
Really? Like what, precisely?
Like his wife.
Well, Mrs. Bennett stood by him all the way.
In her statement, yeah. But I spoke to her at the court on the day Bennett was sent down.
Ronnie shakes his head.
She thanked me, Ron. She thanked me for locking up her daughter's killer.
Bernie marches out, leaving Ronnie pensive. Crown Prosecution Service.
Can you imagine what it's like to be convicted of killing your own child if you didn't do it?
Doesn't seem to me like you have proof of anyone else's guilt. Partial DNA profiler, deathbed confession that can't undergo the scrutiny of cross-examination, and a couple of hearsay witnesses.
On their own, each piece of evidence is weak, I agree, but together, you'd have to be a conspiracy theorist to believe that three unconnected individuals all decided to pin it on the same innocent man.
Well, the evidence conspired against Simon Bennett in the original case, but where that got us?
Who do you think a jury will believe killed Amanda? A loving father? Or a couple of crackheads with a history of breaking into people's houses?
75% of murder victims are killed by someone
they know.
Bango's McDonald's witness statement. Phelps's brief is putting in an application to have it excluded.
Not like you to sound defeatist, Jake.
You haven't heard his grounds. He reckons McDonald qualified as a lawyer.
He's in prison for armed robbery.
And has put his sentence to good use down the education block. My lord, the conversation took place on the prison wing over a card game. Mr. McDonald's legal training is entirely coincidental and in no way relevant to the confession.
It doesn't negate the fact that my client was aware of Mr. McDonald's legal training. It had a significant influence on the nature and content of their conversation.
Mr. Nivens has a point. If the defendant was seeking legal advice...
Well, I think that's stretching it, my lord.
Well, the conversation must still be regarded as privileged.
My lord, you cannot possibly extend privilege to a convicted armed robber who's read a few law books and completed a correspondence course.
Well, Mr. McDonald graduated with honours.
The point is, with a criminal record, he won't be able to practice. Isn't that the distinction we have to make here?
If we discriminate against Mr. McDonald's legal position because he also happens to be a prisoner, then a precedent will be set. The floodgates will be open.
I appreciate your concerns, Mr. Thorne, but I do not believe this is the appropriate time to tackle the rights and wrongs of legal privilege. McDonald's evidence is excluded.
Judge Prentice has so little backbone, it's a miracle he can stand up.
We still have Ricky Phelps's brother.
That's about all we do have. Let's hope he delivers the goods.
Crown versus Phelps, trial day 2, Tuesday 19th of March.
He told me he'd killed this girl. I thought he was losing it. I mean, I told him to think about what he was saying. You'd be careful. But he just got angry. He started shouting and kept saying he killed her. Over and over. I asked him who he was talking about, and then he said her name. He said he killed Amanda Bennett.
Bernie sits down to watch.
No more questions, my lord.
Jake sits.
Mr. Phelps, am I right in thinking that you run a cafe?
Yeah, I do.
And there was a robbery at your cafe 3 years ago?
Yeah.
My lord, what exactly does a break-in at the witness's cafe have to do with this murder trial?
I'm getting there, my lord.
Get there a little faster, Mr. Nivens.
You made an insurance claim to cover your losses, Mr. Phelps.
I did, yeah.
And the insurance claim was turned down.
Yeah.
So you lost a considerable amount of money. Now, who was responsible for that robbery, Mr. Phelps?
My brother.
You must have been very angry with him.
I was angry, yeah, but I
Is that the real reason you're here today, Mr. Phelps, to get revenge on your brother?
No, of course not.
But you lost everything. You had to take out a loan to cover the loss.
Yeah, but the insurance thing's being sorted.
Well, how's it getting sorted?
D.S. Brooks took a new statement. So he's sorting it out for me.
D.S. Brooks?
Yeah.
the officer investigating this case. The same officer who brought charges against another person in relation to this crime 14 years ago.
Key witness just totally discredited himself in the witness box.
A defense made it sound like he was only given evidence to get back at his brother.
He said you made him a promise.
Ronnie frowns heavily.
What sort of promise?
Reckoned if he helped you out, you'd help him get his insurance money. Made it sound like you bribed him.
No, I didn't.
I was there the whole time.
I said we would take a new statement regarding his break-in, which we did.
Yeah. Ronnie's offer was completely legitimate.
That's not the way the jury will see it. They'll see a witness who's done a deal with a policeman.
Unless they hear your side.
Ronnie nods. Crown versus Phelps, trial day 3, Wednesday 20th of March.
D.S. Brooks, you led the original investigation into the murder of Amanda Bennett.
Well, I was on the investigating team. Detective Sergeant Bernard Rawlins led it.
You and D.S. Rawlins had a different prime suspect first time around, didn't you?
That's correct.
You believed that Amanda Bennett was murdered by her father, Simon Bennett.
We did, yes.
And after serving 3 years for the murder, Mr. Bennett was released on appeal.
Yes.
So, he wasn't the killer.
Ronnie closes his eyes briefly.
We got the wrong man.
Knowing how deeply flawed your original investigation was, you must be desperate now to ensure that another person is convicted of that crime.
Well, I want to see the right person put in prison, yes.
Is it true you are an alcoholic, D.S. Brooks?
Relevance, my lord.
Mr. Nevins?
I'm trying to ascertain D.S. Brooks' mental state at the time of the original investigation, my lord.
Answer the question, D.S. Brooks.
I've been sober for 7 years.
Your drinking must have had a significant impact on your handling of the case.
Well, it certainly didn't help.
So, while you were 3 sheets to the wind, is it any wonder that your partner developed a blind obsession with convicting Simon Bennett?
He made some mistakes, but...
He decided who he thought was guilty and went for them, disregarding all the evidence, didn't he?
Well, D.S. Rawlins was working under a lot of strain. It was very hard work, long hours. He barely had enough sleep.
Well, it's no surprise the case was riddled with errors if D.S. Rawlins was suffering from sleep deprivation.
He wasn't. He decided at the time to take some pills to make sure he got enough sleep.
I see. So there was one drunk investigating officer and another one popping pills, and these two self-medicating officers were responsible for blundering through this case and charging an innocent man.
Bernie glares at Ronnie and leaves.
Bernie, wait. Please, Bern.
Don't make it any worse, Ron.
I was under oath, Bernie.
Bernie turns to him.
You stabbed me in the back. Trashed my reputation.
Why can't you just admit that we got it wrong?
Bernie steps back towards Ronnie.
Make you feel better, will it?
His eyes wide, Ronnie steps back.
All those nights you crashed in our spare room when Jean kicked you out. We fed you. Got you back on your feet again. I went to your first AA meeting with you, remember? And when you got pissed 2 days later, who scraped you off the pavement?
Sam rounds a corner.
And I thought our friendship meant something.
Sam spots them. Ronnie looks sheepish.
Look, come on, what about dinner? Hey, my treat.
I only eat with family and friends. And I lost my family. Covering your arse.
He glowers at Ronnie, then marches off. Ronnie fidgets awkwardly. Office of Henry Sharp, CPS, Thursday, 21st of March.
Get Phelps to plead to manslaughter.
But we can get him for murder, Henry.
Well, so far your witnesses aren't helping you prove it.
But we know he did it. I've not seen him walk out of prison 5 years' time with a slap wrist.
The way things are going, he won't step foot in the sweat box.
It's not just about convicting Phelps. We owe it to Simon Bennett. He spent 3 years in prison for a murder he didn't commit, his daughter's murder. The CPS did that to him. It's up to us to put that right.
If Phelps walks out of court a free man, we'll have wasted the taxpayers' money on a trial that could never see a guilty verdict. Isn't it better to have him convicted of something rather than nothing? Just Get the plea, Jake.
Jake nods. He and Alicia leave the office. Ronnie's in the corridor getting a coffee from a vending machine.
Ronnie.
Hmm.
We're going to offer Ricky Phelps a deal.
Ronnie frowns.
But he killed Amanda Bennett.
We can't get him, I'm sorry.
Ronnie removes his specs.
Right.
Phelps will still go to prison.
Ronnie puts his coffee down and grabs his coat. He heads off.
I need to fix this.
But it's over. Ronnie!
When is this gonna stop?
Video footage.
Is that how you felt when you killed her? Right? I didn't kill Amanda. The only reason I'm angry is because our killer's still out there and you're wasting your time on me. Let's have another look at your alibi, shall we?
I told you I was driving home from work.
This is to support that statement.
I got a speeding ticket. There'll be a time on that.
Yeah, I checked it. Yeah. Still could have got home in time to murder her.
No, there was someone. A man. He was in the road. I nearly knocked him over. He swore at me.
Bronny watches.
He had dark hair. I had this tattoo on his forearm. It was a spider or a scorpion.
Sam comes in.
Sam, come and have a look at this.
At the station, he sits down to watch the footage.
Arthur? I had this tattoo on his forearm. It was a spider or a scorpion.
He was describing Ricky Phelps. Simon saw Phelps near his home moments before he found his daughter's body.
Ricky Phelps was never on our radar because he wasn't on the original interview list, although O'Doherty was, but he used a false name, Davy Jones.
Bernie Rawlins initialled Davy Jones as being interviewed, but then ruled it out.
But it puts O'Doherty in the house 2 days before the murder and Ricky Phelps on the street immediately afterwards.
So you think we've got enough?
I think we need to talk to Simon Bennett.
Abbott Close, Lewisham, Friday.
We have a photograph of the man we think you saw outside your house the day Amanda was murdered. If you were to give us a positive ID...
I can't do this now. I've got to get to the hospice.
We can make an appointment for
you. My wife's dying!
Alicia gawps.
I'm so sorry.
I have to go.
Mr. Bennett, we don't think the man you saw was a witness. We think he was the killer.
Simon glances about. His jaw trembles. He frowns heavily.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Bennett, I don't understand why you wouldn't want us to get the man who killed your daughter.
He leans against his car.
I was locked up for 3 years with murderers, paedophiles, all thinking I'd killed my own daughter.
Alicia lowers her gaze.
While I was gone, Lynn was diagnosed with breast cancer.
He fights back tears.
She spent 13 years beating this disease.
Alicia blinks sadly.
Only now it's back. The last thing I want is for it all to be dragged up again. She deserves to die with some sense of peace.
I can't even begin to imagine how hard this is for you. How angry you must be with the police, with us. But this is a new case, and with your help, we believe we can convict the man who destroyed your lives.
Simon regards her intently, but falters.
They've given Lynn a few weeks, at best.
His lip quivers.
Losing Amanda broke her. I'm not putting you through all that again.
He gets into his car, on a street.
He is a victim of a miscarriage of justice. Every faith he had in the criminal justice system has been ripped apart.
And he doesn't want to clear his name?
I think he's past caring what anyone else thinks.
Without the ID, we're back where we started. I'll call Phelps's brief. Let's get this over with.
Just for the comedy value, what are you proposing?
I might consider accepting a plea to manslaughter.
Yeah. You're always good for a laugh, Jake.
Simon Bennett told D.S. Rawlins he saw a young man with dark hair and a tattoo identical to your client's outside his home moments before he went inside and found his daughter's body.
You're telling me my client was the only man in London 14 years ago with a scorpion tattoo?
The only one sporting that look and hanging around the Bennett's place at that specific time. Yeah.
And Simon Bennett's picked him out of an ID parade, has he? We wouldn't be having this cozy little conversation if you thought for one moment that you could convict my client.
Fine. Let's leave it to the jury.
The jury? Oh, I'm considering a half-time submission of no case to answer.
Jake?
Give me a minute.
Jake heads out of the meeting room. Niven smiles at Ricky.
Simon Bennett's had a change of heart. He's agreed to do the ID.
They go into a separate meeting room.
Mr. Bennett, thank you. I'm Jake Thorne. What made you change your mind?
My wife's dead.
Jake's totally flummoxed.
I'm so sorry.
I think all she wanted was to die, so she could be with Amanda.
The troubled Simon takes a seat. He fidgets and glances down at his hands.
They got to her, you know. The police. They took me away before she got home.
You never got to talk to her?
They worked on her bit by bit till they'd convinced her I was guilty. It was nearly a year before she'd see me.
He winces at the memory and seems on the verge of tears.
She looked into my eyes and she knew I couldn't do that.
Alicia listens intently.
When I got out of prison, we made this pact. We'd try our hardest to forget what had happened. It was her way of protecting herself. She thought it would stop the cancer coming back. You have all these images in your head that you wish weren't there. What he did to her. All that blood.
Simon shakes with sobs.
Our beautiful girl.
Breaking down, he hangs his head.
For my wife's sake, I tried not to think about what happened. But Amanda was my only child. She was my life.
He rubs his nose and stands.
I need to know what happened to her.
Alicia nods.
Dearest Brooks is waiting for us to do the ID.
Make sure you get it right this time. Please.
He eyes Jake imploringly, then heads out, followed by Alicia. Jake wears a grave expression. Crown versus Phelps, trial day 7, Tuesday 26th of March.
Mr. Bennett, how long exactly did you see Mr. Phelps for?
I can't remember.
Oh, you can't remember?
2 or 3 seconds.
3 seconds. 14 years ago, on what was presumably the most stressful day of your life, and yet you remember exactly what this stranger looked like.
I have lived in that day for 14 years, replayed it over and over, every last detail. So yes, I remember exactly what he looked like. And you wouldn't have to ask me any of this if the police had investigated my daughter's murder properly 14 years ago.
Ronnie looks down.
What were you doing walking away from the Bennett's house?
I went there with Jimmy.
Had Jimmy O'Doherty ever been to the Bennett's house before?
Yeah. He used to borrow his old man's suits, go look at houses, pretend he went to buy them.
You went to the Bennett's house as a lookout for Jimmy while he went inside to commit a burglary.
Yeah, that's right. Didn't do nothing else.
While you were standing guard, did you see Amanda Bennett?
Yeah, I saw her through the window. She was coming down the stairs, she was wearing a dressing gown. And I heard her yelling at Jimmy to get out. saw him kill her.
And you saw all this from where you were standing at the front of the house?
Yeah.
Amanda Bennett was killed in the kitchen at the back of the house. You wouldn't have been able to see her from the front.
Ricky frowns. He flounders in the stand.
Maybe it was when I was round the back. When I was seeing what was keeping Jimmy.
We heard forensic evidence that a DNA sample was found on Amanda's body and that there is a 60% probability that it belongs to you. That DNA puts you in the house with Jimmy and with Amanda.
That's not mine.
That's an extraordinary coincidence, isn't it? That a DNA profile, which is almost certainly yours, is found on a victim killed by your friend while you stood guard outside?
I don't know.
Jake nods.
You and Jimmy thought the house was empty, didn't you?
Jimmy said that it was empty.
Only Amanda was there.
Jimmy was the one that hurt her, not me.
You didn't go to the house with the intention of killing anybody, did you?
No.
But then she came down the stairs, yelling at you to get out.
At Jimmy, she was yelling at
Jimmy. Well, she must have been terrified. Two strangers in her home?
She was chucking all this stuff at Jimmy's head. And he started freaking out. I mean, he went mental. He went mental. And he went at her with this metal doorstop. And I was screaming at him. I was begging at him to stop. I tried to pull him off her.
From outside the window?
Ricky's brows pinched.
I know you didn't want to hurt her, Ricky. I know that, but you were there, weren't you? Trying to stop Jimmy.
He looks away.
Trying to pull Jimmy off her. Tell us what really happened, Ricky.
He wouldn't stop. I mean, he wouldn't stop. And he just kept going at her. She was on the floor. I just remembered there was so much blood.
Simon weeps silently.
And then suddenly he's yelling at me, saying, look what you've done to her. If she's looking at me, and she's thinking, I done that to her, she's thinking, I done that to her. Then I'm thinking the old Bill are going to come and she's going to tell them that it was me. I mean, I couldn't think straight. I just put my hands around her neck.
Simon's lips quiver wildly.
And start to squeeze. Until she stopped fighting.
Ronnie hangs his head. Alicia gawps at him. Jake regards him coldly. Jake, Ronnie and Alicia make their way out of court.
The right man's behind bars.
14 years too late.
He'd still be a free man if it wasn't for you.
Alicia, if it wasn't for me, we wouldn't have been here.
Sam joins them and Alicia and Jake head off.
How many more are going to come back and buy me?
We all make mistakes.
Ronnie nods gently.
Anyway, you fancy Chinese? On me?
Ronnie smiles softly.
Yeah, give me an hour.
Ronnie heads off. Sam looks bemused. Ronnie approaches Simon's door in Lewisham and rings the bell. He stands back and shuffles nervously. Simon opens the door and stares at Ronnie. Simon glares down at him from the step. Ronnie says something and holds out his hand to shake. Simon looks down at it, brow furrowed. The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly, any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental.